And welcome back. Well, it is that time of year, really officially starting tomorrow, we think. It's time for the Indianapolis 500 and all the get readies and all the qualifications and all that happy stuff. To talk about it, I lived around it until I was 18 years old, always went to the races, lived down Georgetown Road in Eagledale, Indianapolis, and was like 2 miles from the track. So I got to hear and see stuff all the time growing up. But I don't have as much chance to go back anymore because, A, it's 2.5 hours away, and, B, I'm old. So there you go. sitting here with me, and you probably recognize the giggle cackle. He used to be it's been how long since you were my producer? 2 years?
We're closing in on 2.5.
2.5?
Yeah.
It's just fun flies when you're doing time. So, no, but Caleb Hatch is here with us. And, Caleb, let's just get everybody caught up. You still do our midday news here. You're the 10 to 2 guy.
Correct.
And then you're down the hall, and you're involved in just a lot of things down there with the fan, the 1380, and you do all that. And that's kind of really where your heart is in the sports area.
Yeah, I'm a sports guy.
Yeah. I tried to get him to run for senator when he was here on my station. He wouldn't do it. So there you go. But the 500, and now you grew up north of Indy.
Correct.
In Westfield area.
Westfield, Indiana, born and raised.
Yeah. Okay. We'll let it drop there. No, but I mean, but you got highly involved with Indy too as you were growing up. How many 500s have you been to?
Oh, gosh. I have to do a count because I want to say it's like 16 or 17.
Wow. You started when?
My first one was in 2003, and then I didn't go again until 2006.
Okay.
But then I've gone every year, including 2006, with the exception of 2009. Obviously, no one went in 2020. I don't really...
Right. That's a non-counting year.
Yeah. As far as losing the streak or whatever. But yeah, I think this will be number 17, if I'm not mistaken.
So the first time you went, you were how old?
First time I went, I would have been 14 years old. I was in eighth grade.
You were but a pup. So what is it that put the Indy bug in you to where... Because, I mean, you like racing, but you're definitely open wheel racing.
Yes, okay. and it's very different. Like, I will watch the occasional NASCAR race, but I am an IndyCar guy first and foremost. I watch Formula One and have for about a decade or so, and off
open
and on.
Wheel. Why is it we need to have open wheel? What's the deal on that?
Well, it's just how the cars have been for so long, and now it's a little different with the aero screen, which protects the driver's heads in the cockpit, which is a huge safety innovation for the sport. And it's been a good safety innovation because it's probably saved a couple lives already.
The Eddie Sachs Dave McDonald crash.
Oh, brutal.
In turn four. I was there.
Wow.
So I saw it. And that's when everybody finally said, okay, we love racing, but we got to do something. When you've got A.J. Foyt winning the race while cars around him are crashing and a tire bounces and goes over the fence, lands on a woman, and she's dead. That's why they came up with the fencing now that's higher. It bends out over the track. So if a tire starts to come up, it's going to hit and come back down on the track. Everything that's happened was for a safety reason because we had something happen, and that's usually the way we do it in sports.
Yes, unfortunately so. And, you know, the aero screen came on the heels of the death of Justin Wilson back in 2015.
Yeah.
You know, they keep making safety improvements. The improvements they made in safety just in the last 20 years alone in the sport are just incredible, from the safer barriers, which are the walls that kind of have give that have saved a lot of drivers. You have the Hans device, which supports the driver's head and neck. You have, obviously, the aero screen that I mentioned. They keep adding different safety elements.
Well, and also, too, the tubs, which is the part that the driver sits in. They've got it now to where the tub is very, very secure, and the car's built so it basically almost evaporates around them. You hit the wall really hard, things are separated. They want to make sure the integrity of the tub is fine because that protects the driver.
Yes, the car should disintegrate in a crash, but the tub should be secure, and they've done a good job with that innovation.
And for the most part, that's it. I mean, we don't hear, we still have them, but we don't hear of deaths like we used to in open wheel.
Correct.
Okay. So this weekend, tomorrow, and my lovely daughter and I were scheduled to go tomorrow down to the time trials, and we're not going because I'm short, old, and fat. This is our anniversary weekend, the lovely Mrs. Miller and me, and so Sunday and Monday are filled with anniversary stuff. So Shannon and I were going to go down Saturday. Well, it sounds like the rain could be a very promising part of what goes on down on the track this weekend. What's the latest you've heard on that?
So the weather is still a little iffy. It just depends on what time the scattered storms hit. Last I saw, after 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon, it gets a little iffy. But it looks like Sunday is going to be great because you'll have temperatures not even hitting 70 degrees, the projected high 65, yeah, as I'm looking at the weather right now. Cloudy, that means fast speeds at IMS. And
yes,
Fast Friday right now, we're already seeing laps over 231 miles per hour.
Is that nuts?
And that's in conditions today that are terrible.
Like 81 degrees and hot.
It's hot, and, yeah, and it's incredibly windy.
And they're turning 231 down there.
Yes, almost 232.
I remember, and this is way back at the very beginning of the 90s, and I was with Ford, and they had a very hyped up Taurus SHO down there, which was, you know, the big Ford super high output, and Lynn St. James was a Ford rep, and she was also in the race. Well, she was in the car, and she sat on the right side, and she had, you know, she had her own brake pedals and all that happy stuff. But I got in the car, and I had to put on the seatbelt. And Caleb, it was a cross your body racer seatbelt that's in this Taurus, and I did like 2.5 laps at around 136 miles an hour.
Wow!
And I was just out of my mind. I thought there was nothing, you know, and stuff went by so fast. I'm like, when they were still going 150, 160 miles an hour in the race, they were looking at pit signs that the guys would hold out on the wall. How do you read those?
I've always wondered that myself.
I mean, how do you read that? I could have read it at 136, but I was so proud because they came in, the guys that were with me said, man, you did 136. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. An hour later, Gordon Johncock is out there beating me by 90 miles an hour. So, okay, but what's the deal now? Because when I first got involved with IMS, there were two weekends of time trials.
Correct.
Saturday, Sunday. And then at the end of the second Sunday, everybody was screaming and running around and trying to get into the race, and they had people waiting. Because back then, Caleb, it was nothing to have 45, 50 cars trying to make the race. They've only got like 33 now, right?
Only 33 entries this year. Now, last year they had 35. So the issue on why this has happened is actually it's a good problem to have. So a lot of the teams expanded their full-time entries for the series, and that's part of the reason why it's been a lot tougher,
okay,
to have more one-offs. So, for example, you have the Ray Hall team. They added a full-time car. You have the Ganassi team that added a full-time car as well. So you have expansion on the team front, and so that's why it's been a little bit tougher. Plus, more teams are set to expand next season. The McLaren team is going to add a third full-time car as well. So that's why you have less entries, and these one-off entries, it's not like how it used to be where you run, you know, a couple-year-old chassis and you,
yeah,
throw a ragtag crew together and try to make something work. It's a little bit more complicated than that. You can't just show up like, yeah, you used to in that sense.
You send a couple of guys out to grab a couple of guys from
the
from
stands.
The service department at the Shell station down,
yeah,
the street. I mean, it used to just really be ragtag, ragamuffin. So let me ask you now, how is it that we're deciding who's on the pole? It used to be, now I'm going way back, Caleb, it used to be the fastest qualifier in the first weekend. That's who sat on the pole, and that's how they made their placement. And then if you didn't qualify till the second weekend, then it's fastest to slowest, but you guys are after the first weekend. But now what they're doing here, tell me where I've got this goofed up. You go out and you run, you do Saturday, you do Sunday, and then they take the top 12 and they run, and then you decide from that race. Not a race, but that going out there, that's where the pole sitter comes from?
Yes. So tomorrow, Saturday session, it'll start at noon. It'll go till 5:50. And that will be everyone gets one run, and then you can withdraw your times and keep running until the gun goes off at 5:50. So pretty standard stuff.
Right.
No complicated things with it. Now, where it gets a little tricky, Sunday, since there's no bumping, they'll just run a fast 12. Now, they've done a fast 9 for several years, and they tweaked it and got it to a point where it would be the 9 fastest cars are locked in at the end of the day Saturday. So now, instead of the 9 fastest, it's the 12 fastest locked in at the end of the qualifying session on Saturday. And then on Sunday, they're just going to run the fast 12, which will start, then they'll cut that down to the top six after those initial 12 runs, and then those six will duke it out for the pole.
So based on that, and this is the nutty part to me, this is the part that doesn't feel right. When you went out for your first qualification run on Saturday, mm-hmm. and let's say you ran 232.3, I mean, you're the fastest out there, and then because of climate conditions or whatever, you go out there on Sunday and you make the top six, but then you do your run, and now you're the third fastest, you're not on the pole.
Correct. And
that's a little nutty to me.
That's the change, and I know for kind of the old school people, it is confusing. They don't like it. I mean, I'd love it if they could go back to 4 days of qualifying, have pole day, day two of time trials, day three, and then bump day, like they used to do back in the day. Yeah. It was pretty simple.
Why have we left that?
So, one, there's no need for that many days of qualifying because they don't have, 40, 50 entries. I think that's part of it. Now, if they were to get back up, above 40 entries every year, I think you could justify simplifying the qualifying format. But also, it's set up the way it is. Let's be honest. It's all about TV in this era. And so the Fast 12 and Fast 6 and before that, the Fast 9, that's all for TV.
So this, weather allowing, this all kicks off tomorrow.
Yes.
And then it moves into Sunday. Are they expecting, let's say there's no rain tomorrow. There will be. But let's say there was no rain tomorrow. Would all 33 run tomorrow?
So they'll run until weather.
Until 10 till 6.
Yeah, has an impact, and then maybe a delay. As far as a contingency plan, my understanding is, and nothing's been made official as far as what the contingency plan of weather impacts Saturday. But my guess would be they'll give everyone one shot on Sunday if, mm-hmm. say, Saturday gets completely washed out.
And then we'll get down to the top 12 and then the top six from that.
I don't know if they would do that way again on Sunday, weather permitting, obviously.
Yeah. So you personally, this whole top 12, top six, you're okay with it. You think it adds some excitement. You would maybe prefer if it was done the way we used to do it.
Yeah, I get it because I understand it's for TV. Yeah. I get it. That's just how sports work.
Do you remember the days, though, to where, hey, we're the Indy 500. If you want to come here and put us on TV, fine. But you're going to put on TV what it is we do here. This is how we do it. I guess I wish it was like that.
They still stream everything. I mean, it's a new era in TV. Streaming is kind of the new TV. They stream everything Saturday. Sunday, the TV window is just that run for the poll from, I think, 4 to 6.
Mm-hmm. That's just
basically
like the top 6.
TV coverage. Well, with the top 12 and the top 6 will be 4 to 6.
So I'm going to ask you this. A couple years ago, Roger Penske, who has been very successful at Indy and several other tracks with his teams, all at once opened up the wallet, and he bought IMS.
And the series.
Has this been good for the series and the IMS interview? Do you wish he would have left it alone? Is it weird having one of the team owners be the track owner?
I think if there was one owner that people wouldn't be concerned about that getting in the way, it's Roger Penske. I don't think it's been an issue. I think, obviously, the issue has been the pandemic that set everything back because the announcement was made in November 2019, closed on the sale early January 2020, then the pandemic happened. I think it's actually been a great thing that it happened when it did because it could look a lot different, mm-hmm. and who knows, the health of the series and the track and everything had he not bought it when he did.
So you're going to be down there tomorrow.
I will.
Okay. And you sit up in turn one, up in the upper echelon there.
Yes.
Because that is a great view.
The view is amazing.
In fact, if anybody's going to the race, turn one is the place to be.
It'll cost you probably over $1,000 on the resale market.
Especially if you're up high in the stands, though. I mean, that is the place to be.
Incredible view.
Yeah. Now, are you going to the race?
Yes.
You'll be where?
I always sit in turn four.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
So where on qualification day, you see them come down, take the green, and go into the turns and all that. On turn four, you see them come out of the backstretch into three, short shoot to four, and then shoot down the main straightaway. And you can see them all the way to one.
Not quite. So I'm a little bit further in.
Okay.
But I can see the end of the backstretch, turn three, the short shoot, turn four, a little bit of the main straight basically cuts off right around the flag stand.
Well, and where you're at, if there's two guys really going for it at the end, three and four, that's where the drama hits. I mean, that's where it really hits. And this isn't like NASCAR. You're not supposed to bump each other because you bump somebody in an open wheel and you're both flying. So, we'll be careful. Have a good time down there. I'm not going. Too much chance of rain. sugar melts. So I'm you caught that, did you?
Yes.
So we're staying home. But yeah, if something really, really cool happens, just shoot me a text and we'll see what's up. But hey, listen, thanks for coming in. I mean, I would have never dreamt that the day would come that you would be the specialized guest on my station for something. So and I thought about making an offer to you about coming back, but John's here today and I didn't want to make him cry. So we'll just take it at that. So are you enjoying yourself down in the sports area?
I am. Sports is kind of more my thing, and I got to do a plug before you kick me off.
Okay.
But I cover IndyCar every week, and in the month of May, it's a little bit different. We're doing a lot more stuff, but New Track Record Podcast, you can find us, newtrackrecordpodcast.com, your favorite podcasting platforms, social media on Twitter, IndyCar Podcast, Facebook, like us, New Track Record as well, and check out everything we have. We've had a lot of driver interviews and special interviews just in the last week or so.
There you go.
And we'll have more to come next week leading up to the race.
Yeah, go to wherever you get your podcast and look for New Track Record, and that's where you're going to find Caleb and his compadres as they tell us all about racing. Caleb, thanks a whole lot.
Thanks for having me.
Podcasts by Federated Media.